everyone, it's Mimi and Weezus.
Hey guys, what's good?
Please forgive any weird mistakes we make. It's been a lot of troubleshooting to get us to this point. Figure out how our mics are going to work and just where we're going to sit. So you'll probably see over the next few weeks how much stuff is going to change on. But we did upload all our episodes to YouTube. And we got a lot of feedback, especially on our O.J. Simpson cases. So what we're going to cover today is yet another theory and some more information. So Jesus, take it away. You start.
All right. So basically in our other episodes, in our first episode, we were like, it was O.J., right? O.J. did it. And then in our Jason episode, we were sure as heck that it was Jason. You know, everything led to Jason, you know, even including the hat, including dog hair, you know, pictures, just stuff of that nature, right? But after we saw a comment,
on our YouTube
saying to look into a guy named Norman Pardo, and you know, this guy Norman Pardo, I'll tell you all about him. He was basically OJ's right-hand man, the person that knew all his deepest, darkest secrets. He was with him for like 20 years.
Yeah, he was his assistant, I think, right?
Yeah.
Or something.
See, that's the thing. Some people say it was his manager. Some people say it was assistant. Some people say it was just like a business partner, right? It was all three. Basically,
but
Norman,
he knew everything, dude.
Yeah, he knew everything. But I feel like he only came out with all this stuff so nothing could be tied back to him, and basically so he could all these celebrities are losing fame, you know, everyone's clout chasing, like let's say Jada Pinkett Smith with Tupac.
Yeah,
he's the same way with OJ and Nicole. I feel it's like that, but well, you know, he does bring some valid points to the case though.
He does. And like what you were saying with like the clout chasing, he releases this documentary, right? Or this book. It's a book?
Yeah.
And a documentary. I think he did both.
Yeah, both.
And he waited all these years to release it. And I think it was, correct me if I'm wrong, it was like at the 25th anniversary of the murders or something like that, mm-hmm. is when he's like, oh, you know, now's my time. Now is my freaking time. And he releases this stuff, but why wait? You know, because you're out of money now? Is he pulling like a Mike Tyson, Jake Paul fight coming up? You know, Mike Tyson's out of money, so he's like, I'll do it. That's what it seems to me like Norman did in this case. You know, he waited way too long to come forward with the information that he has.
Okay, so basically, the first thing Norman says, first, he never says that OJ was doing drugs. He always insinuates it, though. He always says, you know, we were doing this, but, you know, he always says we didn't, so we didn't. You're right? But they were. He came out and said that, you know, Cole Simpson was straight up a drug addict, that she owed people money, all this and that. But she says that the reason that the 911 call happened was basically OJ was sick and tired of Nicole. Apparently, you know, he claims that she was running around with people that were running a brothel, you know, drug addicts, drug hustlers, prostitutes, all this stuff, and that she was bringing them over to the house. You know, this is what he claims, right?
Yeah.
Norman
okay.
and OJ.
They both
say the same thing. And that he didn't want that stuff around his kids, you know? And in the 911 call, you can literally hear him saying, look what you're doing in front of our kids. Like, you're bringing around people. And then he says, I have to always cover for you. I have to always pay your shit. And then he says, look, for $100, they were about to beat you like a Kennedy. And I had to come save you.
This is what OJ's saying?
This is what OJ's saying. And while Nicole's like, you know, saying like, he's like freaking out. He's taking my things. You know, he's saying all this. But OJ, you know, he's really angry saying all this stuff.
Like, you're putting my kids in an unsafe situation.
In an unsafe situation. Like, it makes it seem like what OJ was doing was reasonable.
Yeah.
In that moment, the 911 call ends. This was like the reason, like one of the reasons that he cheated on Nicole, because she was a drug addict. That's like the reason
that he was stepping out.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, Norman, with all in the documentary, he says like they went to surprise parties, they went to the strip club, they went everywhere, and OJ would cheat all the time. But I don't know. And he says that he was faithful.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you're faithful sleeping around.
Yeah.
People think like, oh, because I didn't kiss her, you know, this isn't that, right? Shit like that.
If you're sleeping with someone else, you're cheating.
You're cheating, yeah.
You're cheating. If you're doing anything with anybody else,
you're cheating. Exactly. And, you know, I feel like he got to a point where, you know, maybe like, we don't know what Nicole was into, right? We're getting all this information from Norman now, but not from OJ, right? Yeah, Nicole can't defend herself. It's the same thing with the Tupac thing. So maybe they're lies. Maybe she wasn't a drug addict, right? They're just making it up because of this. But OJ apparently was paying off like multiple drug dealers.
That was what, like, you know, when you look up theories about who could the killer be if it's not OJ, you know, you find Jason, which we did our episode on, and we were really just shocked by all the information. And it's the same thing with this, you know, if these people don't comment on our videos, or we don't happen to run past the theory when we're looking online. Like, when you look up O.J. Simpson or Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman murders, this stuff doesn't just come up. Like, you have to deep dive to find this kind of information, because it's not the first things that are popping up. And I still, this is blowing my mind to this day.
How do I say it? So you know how he cheated on Nicole for doing drugs and all
yeah,
this?
Yeah, yeah.
Allegedly. You know, in our past episode, we talk about his friend Charlie. And we also talk about his friend saying that he did meth a lot. This guy was doing drugs all the time. And he is saying that his wife was less just because she was doing drugs.
Because she was doing it?
Yeah.
Was he not doing it around the kids or something?
Like, maybe that's
or
the
maybe
thing.
He didn't owe people money, so he was making her look
and,
bad.
And you know, the funny thing is that he even went on interviews. There's a bunch of interviews of him saying, "No, I don't do drugs. I'm not a drug person." And then a video comes out, literally, like, it's of OJ saying that back in, was it 92, they threw a surprise party for him, and that one of the call girls brought ecstasy, and they all did ecstasy.
So he's done drugs. So he's gonna be out there lying.
Yeah, and okay. then in another interview, they ask him, "Have you done the no-no snow?" And then he's like, "I refuse to answer." And then the interview, so that means yes. And he's like, he just stays quiet.
He's like, "I plead the fifth."
Dude. I plead the fifth. Yeah. I plead the fifth.
Well, the point when I like spoke earlier, I totally lost my train of thought about, you know, the alternate theories.
Yeah.
One of the things that people were saying was that maybe a drug dealer came and it was like a drug deal gone wrong, you know, and like someone told her, sure, she owed money, right?
Okay, like, where I'm going to take you, you're right.
Okay.
Okay, so here's another thing, right? The killings already happened, right? They happened in, was it 1994?
Yeah, yeah.
Norman didn't meet OJ until 1999.
Yeah, so this is all happening after
that. After, yeah. And the first night they met, he took OJ to a bar, and he said that they got really drunk and stuff, and then he just started asking him, did you do it, did you kill those people?
He said that, like, you don't want to know what happened that night, right?
Yeah, you don't want to know that. For that, let me describe what Norman saw when he saw OJ.
Okay.
He said that he saw like a withered, broken man, and that he basically looked almost handicapped, that it was like a former shell of OJ. He was all hunched. He looked tiny.
Frail?
Yeah, like if, you know, the drugs had gotten to him. That's what he said. But also like, he said that, you know, everyone was afraid of OJ. He said he wasn't afraid of OJ because he just saw like a druggie.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because the pictures that we get, we don't get that many. You know, we don't get what we want. We just see what the media wants us to see and what, you know, puts out there.
Yeah.
But there's control on things like this. So I feel like when you have a celebrity who's, I don't know how to say, down bad or whatever, like, we don't ever get to know the actual truth until people come out like this and say, this is actually what happened.
Yeah.
And he didn't get to, because, you know, he did go to jail.
Yeah.
For a while, you know.
But not for the charges of Nicole. He got for, was it for robbery,
yeah,
and something
it was all
else?
Yeah, other stuff. Yeah. But I mean, he was in there. So when he got out, and like, you see the pictures of his release, like, he doesn't look all scrawny and stuff, but like, they had already met. So there was like a window of time in between where they met and they did all kinds of crazy stuff together.
When he was outside, he was on drugs, and when he went to jail, he had to come get clean, and so he started eating, and he just got normal again. You know, Norman, he documented everything like a documentary style. And it almost seems like he's just, like, having fun with it, you know?
Yeah.
But for me, I see it in a sense where he's like, oh, I got to play it off, right? I got to be his friend. I got to see what he says. And he says that he did it so he could catch OJ saying that he killed Nicole.
Yeah, that's what he wanted.
That's just what he wanted.
And he never did.
And yeah, exactly.
Speaking of when I had mentioned, like, the drug dealer thing, when I was looking through all these documents, it was back in 2011.
Yeah.
There was a lawyer. It was OJ's lawyer, right? They were trying to throw out all these theories in the case. And yeah. Like, oh, the cop. Remember, the only reason this case got freaking thrown out and that he didn't get charged with all this stuff is because they pulled that racist cop card. Remember? So they started with all that stuff. So they kept throwing other theories like, oh, it was someone else. Like, it was this, it was that. But they didn't really have, like, anyone to blame.
Yeah.
You know? But they went on and, like, wrote this 200-word essay, right, talking about the amount of witnesses that they had that they just scrapped, like, you know, a Simpsons team.
Yeah.
Because they started to get scared and be like, okay, well, we got to choose our witnesses wisely. Because if we just put any old dude out there and he decides to get mad or someone pays him off, because that happens in these big cases, they get paid off, right?
Yeah.
So he's like, if we just put any old guy out there that we can't trust, like, we're gonna be screwed, right? So they wrote this big thing saying, like, you know, according to Bailey, that lawyer, the defense was scared that all of those witnesses would lead to a mistrial. And so one witness, his name's Tom Lang, he was actually Nicole Brown's neighbor. He went on the record and said that, like, he saw Nicole outside that same night talking to, like, two strange men, the night of the murder.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so that's where, like, that theory comes out. And he swears, dude, and he still swears to this day. He said he'll die saying those are the people who killed her and that it wasn't OJ. Like,
oh,
this guy
my
said that.
God. Okay.
Yeah, and he'll still say to this day. And his name is Tom Lang.
Okay, bro. Let me enter another player into the game. So, you know how, I don't know if we talked about it in the last episode, but we know how we said that, you know, in a theory, Khloe Kardashian is OJ's daughter.
Yep.
Okay, so
I still think so.
So let me enter, like, that player that I'm just saying. Let's talk about Rob Kardashian, famous lawyer or attorney, I think, right?
Yeah, same attorney. Thing.
Same thing. Same, right? Thing. Okay, so OJ and Rob, they meet in 1973. So
they,
back
they
in the day,
for a long time.
Back in the day, right? They become business partners. They open up a fashion boutique called Juicier or Juicer, and well, they just, you know, they run it together. I said they're business partners, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't say they were friends. So what I'm about to say, you know, is it's not good at all.
Okay.
It's I don't know how to say this politely. So you know how I said that OJ admits to cheating on both his wives, both
Marguerite
and Nicole?
Yeah.
Okay. Basically, there's a video where Norman just started recording OJ just saying one night he had a Chris Kardashian at his mansion. And her and OJ were in a jacuzzi. And apparently, like, he dropped his pants. What he said is that he F'd that B till I broke her. And he even insinuates that she was screaming and yelling in the video, making fun of her.
Jesus.
And in that moment, like, where he starts, like you know, yelling, he looks up and he sees that Norman's, like, recording. And he's like, take that shit off. Turn that shit off, man. He got all mad real quick because
yeah.
he was
being defensive.
He was defensive.
Crazy.
So there's more to this. He so apparently, you know, after he did all that to Chris, she was hurt because it was, I will say it was an essay at that point.
Yeah, definitely. I'd agree.
And she was crying, you know, asking OG to take her to the hospital. And he just laughed at her and said, have Rob take you.
So did Robert know? Do you know?
Okay, so, you know, a couple, like a month after this incident happened, Rob and Chris got divorced.
Interesting. I wonder if that's the first time that happened, you know?
Well, here's the thing. You know, like I said, they were business partners. They weren't friends. You know, Nicole and Chris, they weren't friends. So neither were OJ and...
Well, actually, I was reading this thing, and there's some pictures of Chris Jenner or Kardashian back then and Nicole Brown, because since their husbands were friends, they ended up having to be in the same spot at the same time. So they were like friends, you know what I mean?
They were
like,
just together, bro.
Yeah,
they were
together. They were like forced friends, you know, like when two bros have girlfriends and they hang out all the time, like we're forced to be friends now. Like that's how they were. But Chris Jenner actually, and I have an article, that I pulled up, and Kris Jenner actually said that, like, Nicole had told her at one point that, like, she knew something bad was gonna happen. And Kris Jenner said, like, I mean, I've always felt guilty for not doing more, like, after she confided in me, but she just didn't. And do you think it's because she was scared of OJ, or do you think she just didn't care? Because, I mean, back then, she didn't have the money and fame that she has now. But the picture that I have of them is actually, look, and I'll post these on our link tree so you guys can see. But they're pictures when they're really young, because, like you said, they've known each other since 1973. So I don't know exactly how close they were, but they were friends by association, I guess, at least, and they had confided in each other a few times. But to what extent is the question, and we'll never know.
Let me bring you into a month.
Okay.
Or after the 911 call. So, Rob Kardashian, OJ, and William Wass, and I think it's like Paul something.
Okay.
They all meet up together at a, I think it's a bar or a country club, and they discuss, like, for William Wass, that's like a detective type of person. They tell him, we're going to need you to spy on Nicole and take notes on any man that she meets and, you know, just report it back to us.
Yeah.
So, you know, he does that, right? This happened January 15th. So January 25th comes around, Rob meets up with William Wass, the guy that they has been spying.
Yeah.
They meet up in private, alone. And Rob offered him, you know, a bigger job. He's like, I'll offer you 15 grand if you kill Nicole with a 24 caliber gun with Paul's car.
What? You paid him off to shoot her.
Allegedly. Yeah.
And use a car to set up Paul.
Yeah, and then this guy, the William Wass, he was like gonna commit suicide. So it would seem like a murder suicide type of deal. So nothing would go down.
That's insane. So did he already have his suicide planned?
Yeah. This was all planned out. Allegedly.
Dude.
But it didn't happen. It didn't happen.
He didn't get to live out his plan?
Yeah, exactly. You know, like I said, OJ just claimed to paying off all of Nicole's drug debt, you know?
Yeah.
Because he said that she owed money to all of LA, basically. Allegedly.
Dude. Okay, so that, I don't know, it brought me back to this article that I read, and it was about the William Wass guy, but his name, they called him Bill for short. And that, for some reason, like, as soon as I Googled him, I realized that this is the same dude. So William, Bill, we'll call him for the story. He, that way, if you're going to do research, he'll come up a lot under Bill.
Bill?
Yeah. And he actually had, like, a thriving no snow business.
Yeah, for
know?
Sure.
Yeah, so he was meeting famous people, you know, and, like, people like Rob Kardashian is the one who introduced him and OJ. And that's kind of where things got started there. So he'd been into clubs. He'd been maybe introduced to Nicole through there or something. But that's how they initially met, is because, like, OJ denies, you know, and then says in hidden camera that he did drugs.
Allegedly.
He was buying that no snow from Bill, dude.
Damn. Okay, yeah. So it makes sense.
I'm glad you said his name. It brings back memories.
So then we're going to get to a month for the killing, like I said.
Yeah.
Now Norman's comes out and says that, you know, it wasn't OJ, it wasn't Jason, it wasn't these drug dealers, it was a serial killer named Glenn Rogers.
And that's where the story takes a turn, huh? So before I get into Glenn, what I was reading, and I just pulled up the thing when we were talking about him so that I could kind of read it some more because I forgot all about him.
For sure.
Is that at this point, you know, between Rob Kardashian, OJ Simpson, and Nicole Brown, they were providing this guy,
Bill,
you know, with a lot of money. Because not only were they purchasing some no snow from him,
allegedly,
but they were referring their friends to him, right?
Yeah.
So think about this guy. Let's say he was selling a little bit of his Colombian snow, dude, for like $60-$70, then he was flipping it for $350 because of them, right? So he's flipping this, making a ton of money off of these people, and without them his business ain't gonna be that good, because he needs in with the rich people, right? Yeah. Because like, if you're selling your rich prices, and then you just go to sell it on the streets, like, you ain't going to make that much money.
You got to tax, homie, tax.
Yeah. So once this stuff starts dying down, and they're like, okay, we need to get out of this, and then OJ starts putting pressure, like, you're bringing too much of this around. You're hurting the kids. What if something happens?
Yeah, dude, no. It could have been, like you said, a drug deal gone wrong. Yeah. You know, what if OJ was like, hey, let's get out of this, and Nicole's like, bro, we're in too deep. What do you mean?
Yeah. If you're thinking about alternate theories, one of the... He could be like, okay, you're ruining my business because you're going to quit. You guys aren't going to buy from me anymore. What if he did it? Or what if those two guys were like, yo, this, this, and that, you know? We never know.
Here, let me hit you with something, Miranda. Yeah. Okay, so you know how you said this guy is a big drug dealer, right? Mm-hmm. You know how I also said that Rob and OJ are business partners? You know, they could have just been running that together with him and using the business as a cover-up because, I mean, he was rolling with them for years. And, you know, that this incident happened with Rob and OJ, and they were like, damn, we gotta stop hanging out now. How are we gonna run the drug business? And, you know, OJ started getting high on his own supply because he couldn't run it by himself, allegedly.
That could be it. Like, all of it can come together. And it's really weird. This happens 30 years ago. Just now, these facts are coming at surfacing. Even when you look at it, like, these articles are maybe posted, what, 2 years ago max, like in 2022. And then you start reading and it's like, okay. But back then, people were sus about it. People were sus about it. And that's where all this stuff with Glenn comes into play. Dude, there's a lot of info. So Glenn, he's not just some random dude. All right. Glenn Edward Rogers. He is known as the Casanova killer, or maybe in some places, the cross-country killer, right?
For sure.
So he was actually convicted of murder. He's still in prison and he is still alive.
Damn.
Right now, to this day. He himself has gone on air, dude, and said, I did it.
Ooh.
I freaking did it. I murdered them. And then they're like, you know what police did, you guys? You know what investigators did? Nothing. They were just like, eh. He didn't really have a reason. Like, he did. So they just, like, pushed it to the side like nothing, which makes no sense.
Norman, in the documentary, he says that it was a power trip from the court, you know, power trip from the police.
Yeah.
That they're just trying to make the case of the century.
That's what they were doing.
And they weren't actually looking for who was out there, you know. And it makes sense that when OJ says, well, why aren't you guys looking for the killer? Like, he's out there still. He's like, why are you blaming me?
Well, and remember in our first OJ trial, we were like, if you're not guilty, why aren't you, like, pushing harder to find the killer, right?
Yeah.
One of OJ's things, he kept saying he was framed by the police officers who were racist. That is, like, one of the big things. And then he had to prove the racism. And that's why he brought in those tapes of the officers and all that stuff. Keep in mind, this trial lasted 9 months. So we'll go back and talk about Glenn again, but that stuff was really important to the case. Now that you know all that stuff about OJ and Jason, we were literally convinced it was Jason just last week. Glenn here, he is literally already a known serial killer, okay? He was in, like, the top 10. You know, they had that, like, FBI's Most Wanted?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so he was in there. He got a death sentence for murder. All kinds of crazy stuff started happening. So I have the list of all the known murders that he's committed. So basically, his first victim, we'll start there. This has nothing to do with OJ. Like, we'll hit that after. So Glenn, I'll post his photos of when he was young. He's like a Ted Bundy, you know? He's like an attractive dude. He's charming. He's handsome. But he's also a psychopath, right? So,
but he also likes murder.
Yeah, but he also likes the murder. So Glenn, he liked to go and pick up blonde girls and redheaded women at bars. And
hell yeah, brother.
My guys.
My guy.
And ask them if they, like, needed a ride home. He'd be like, you look a little tipsy. I can get you safely home. Like no sus stuff. Like, you know, here, this is my name, this is who I am.
Damn.
He would try to comfort them, dude. Like, if he was like,
damn, the white knight,
hey, little
dude.
Mama, let me take you in. Like, yeah, let me get you right home. You don't look so well. That's what he would do, guys.
He's like, I'll call the taxi for you. Don't worry. And then he rolls up in the car. Not just
for real. That's what he would do. So he would, like, lure them into his car and then kill them. That was his thing. Have you ever seen The Vampire Diaries?
Yes.
Okay. So you know when Stefan one of our favorite characters, everybody, but, you know, Damon's daughter. Stefan, they called him, like, the Ripper because he went on, like, killing sprees.
He was Jack the Ripper, guys.
Yeah, so, I mean, Stefan from Vampire Diaries, dude, he was. They called him the Ripper, but that's basically what this guy did. He, like, went on killing sprees like that. So his first victim was his old roommate, dude. His former housemate, bro.
Damn. Watch out, Brayden.
His corpse was found. Am I allowed to say that? His body? I don't know. Was found in January of 1993. It was under a pile of abandoned furniture in a house that was owned by Glenn's family. Right?
Yeah.
Sus. Then his next known victim was a woman that he met at a bar in California. Again, this was in September of 1995. She was found both S-A'd and strangled inside of a pickup truck, dude.
Oh, man.
And not just any old pickup truck, dude. A burning one. One that was on fire.
Damn. He wanted to get rid of the evidence.
Mm-hmm. Then the third victim, another person from the bar, was found stabbed in a bathtub in Mississippi. So, like, keep in mind, this is happening all over the country. So this is why they call him the cross-country killer. Because this isn't just, like, he's hitting one spot, dude. He's, like, traveling and making, like, a trail of bodies. Damn,
And the thing is, he's killing them different, so the police probably think it's someone different in every town.
Well, and most of them, though, were stabbed to death.
Ah.
Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, just think of that. It was with a knife, right?
I mean, obviously in virtual reality, but, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't real. Well, then his fifth and last that we know of, officially, victim was found stabbed to death again near her own bedroom. That same year, November 11th. So this is happening. And this is in Louisiana. Mm. Right? So he's jumping across. So then, guys, after all of this, on May 7th, 1997, Glenn Rogers was convicted of murder for killing a woman that he had met at the bar, right? He just continues at this point. When he gets sentenced, he got sentenced to the death penalty, right?
Yeah.
So he was sentenced to die. And then he ended up having three more trials because he kept appealing things and saying, like, oh, well, they, which you would, you know, if you got the death sentence, you want to appeal, I would. He gets sentenced to the death penalty. While he's already imprisoned and stuff, he has to go on trial again for another murder, where he gets sentenced to the death penalty again. All kinds of stuff starts happening, right? And he ends up still alive for some reason, but they brought all his past crimes into here, because it's not just that. His charges in 1995 were murder in the first degree, robbery with a weapon, grand theft of a motor vehicle. He was found guilty on all counts and charges. Then, later that year, he gets in trouble again. Another charge for murder. Robbery with a weapon, so he gets natural life. And then he ends up getting 5 years for that grand theft, right? There's a documentary that comes out about him. His brother comes on this documentary. His brother's name is Clay Rogers. His brother says, without a doubt, my brother murdered Nicole and Ron Goldman. And they said, like, how would that even happen? Well, dude, Glenn Rogers happened to be a painter at the time of the murders. Ooh. And he was painting in her same neighborhood.
He scoped her out, dude.
Yeah. And he even mentioned, because keep in mind, Glenn Rogers, if you ask him, he says that he's responsible for it. He also says that he's responsible for 70 plus other murders around the U.S. Those ones can't be proven and they've never found anything else. But he had a painting job in that area. He had told his brother that he had met her, and he said that she was like a wealthy woman and that he was gonna take her down, was his words, dude.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's wild.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I got murder on my mind.
Yeah, well, not only was he already like on a killing spree, but once he comes clean about all this and is like telling people, like, oh well, like, I did it, you know what he says?
What
he said? That OJ hired him,
allegedly,
to steal some earrings from Nicole's house and make it look like a robbery gone bad and kill her while he was there.
Oh, man.
Here's the other thing, is that Glenn described in detail some facts about the murder that weren't necessarily public
at the time. Oh.
That supported his claims that he was the killer. He was able to draw a detailed picture of the murder weapon, or the knife that he used to kill them.
God,
isn't this insane? Like, see, this just turns everything that you just told me around, right? I don't know. I do not know. A lot of people believe Glenn is guilty. Here's the other part, dude.
Yes.
Is that there was never a formal investigation into to Glenn Rogers about the murder.
Of course.
Because they were so dead set on the fact that it was O.J. Simpson.
Allegedly, yeah.
That they never took into, like, account that, like, well, wait a second. What if this already murderer, but, I mean, at the time he wasn't convicted, you know, in 1994.
Yeah, they wouldn't have known.
But still, he came out and said, and they never, to this day, have gone and looked at it.
They sweeped it under the rug so they could just try to take down O.J.
Well, and Ron Goldman's dad, he even said, it doesn't matter how many times you guys bring up Glenn Rogers or, like, an alternate killer. Like, it wasn't. It was O.J. And he swears, you know, it was O.J. It was O.J. It was O.J. And it doesn't matter who you bring up or how many times you say Glenn Rogers' name. Like, O.J. still has his blood on his hands. I don't want you guys freaking tarnishing my son's name. And, like, I know who it was. It's basically what Ron Goldman's dad did throughout all of this stuff coming out.
It could be like a, how do I say, you know, this guy was like the, was it the scapegoat? Like, hey, say you did it, you know, we'll give you this much money. You know, it could have been that, right, too?
Yeah.
You gotta always look at it the other way.
Yeah. With his brother.
Yeah.
So Clay Rogers, that's the brother, the former roommate that had been killed.
Yeah.
Clay actually led them to that body.
Ah.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
And then Clay's out here saying, no, I know he did it. I know he did it. And he said that Glenn Rogers had said, like, I had one goal in mind, you know, like, it was to kill this wealthy woman. Like, that was it. I'm going to take her down.
Wow.
So, I don't know. What do you think?
See, look, I have my theory.
Okay.
Right? Rob had already planned to kill Nicole. He had hired this person. He was going to get revenge because, you know, apparently, you know, for what he did to his wife, basically. Right?
Yeah.
I would see that like that, but before Rob's plan could get into initiation, you know, there was a serial killer on the loose.
So they used it.
And they used it. They took it to their advantage, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it makes sense. You know, I always, like I said in the last episode, that's when OJ was like, you know, I didn't do it. I didn't do it.
Maybe OJ didn't.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
You know, sometimes the truth isn't the most popular.
Tell us in the comments. Message us. If you have any other alternate theories, let us know. We will cover them.
We out, guys.
Yeehaw, brother.